You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Problem that we are having in our community, those that are advocating removing safety from us rather than saying we want to be safe from bad cops and bad citizens.
September the 8th, 2020. Those are the words of Al Sharpton on MSNBC and stating what most Americans agree with, and that is that when you take police off the streets, when you defund police departments, you hurt the communities that need them the most, the minority communities. I pointed out to you previously a survey of black Americans asking, do you want more police in your neighborhood more often? Do you want the same number of police in your neighborhood as you have now? Or do you want fewer police? 80% said, give us more or at least maintain what we have. Only 20% said, oh, we can do fewer. I don't know how many of those were gangbangers or whatever, but yeah, they don't want police in the streets. Al Sharpton is calling out the leftists, the liberals, and in fact, he says, you don't even know anything about us. You come into our community, say this is what you need, and then you go, in his words, you go off to your house in the Hamptons and you read your progressive books and you sit around, you have your cup of tea, and you think you've solved our problems. You don't know us. We don't need another slave master. Oh, you're going to want to hear more of Al Sharpton. That's coming up in the second hour. And, of course, we're getting ready, moving forward now. Now that we're past Labor Day, things will begin to ramp up fast and furious for the election coming. And you watch for the left to throw everything they can at Donald Trump. The most recent thing, the Atlantic article, written by Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic, stating that the president mocked American soldiers at a cemetery and he didn't want to go see them when he was in France during that period of time, a year or so ago, that he mocked them and said, well, they're all dead. Who cares? You know, they're not heroes or losers. And folks are buying that remark. They're absolutely buying it. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who had his falling out with the president and then wrote a book as damaging as he could about him, never mentioned that event, and he was there. And you know what he says now about it? He said, I don't know who told the author that, but that was false. And I reaffirm again that it didn't happen. And then they're also saying, well, now Trump is using troops as props. He's using our military as props to make himself look good. Is this all you got? I mean, is this all you guys have at this point? Oh, let me give you another example. CNN doing a piece about how the president in his Labor Day speech was just rambling. You don't bother mentioning Joe Biden when he rambles or gets off script or says something totally idiotic? Nope, you don't do that. And Pelosi, how about her Labor Day message? We're all for the working people. Right. After you shut down the salons for everyone except you, Nancy. And, of course, we'll take the latest look at the COVID issues and how it's affecting New York City. It is a devastating story coming out of New York City for businesses, especially restaurants. The numbers will shock you. And Dr. Gerard Lomero will join us later on what he sees coming over the next several days as we get closer to the election. I want to leave you with this tweet from Joe Biden. Now, this surfaced the other day, sent to me. It seems to be clearly from his tweet. It's got verification with it. You remember he went into Kenosha after 2 days after President Trump went there. Here's the way it reads. When I was in Kenosha, there wasn't half the damage that Donald Trump made it out to be. He's always gaslighting. The problems are in Democrat-run cities. Please listen to this. These are the words, apparently, of Joe Biden typed out, plenty of time to pull them back. typed out stating, "What I observed in Kenosha was fewer black people than in major cities, which means less looting." That is Joe Biden. From what I tell, this is a legitimate tweet, came off of his tweet machine. "What I observed in Kenosha, fewer black people than in major cities, which means less looting." And you think Joe Biden is not a racist and has different racist attitudes? But if Trump had said that, do you know what would happen if Trump had made such a remark? Listen, we got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. You don't want to miss a moment of it. Log and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in and assess the situation at a very reasonable cost and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That is the call to the post. You heard it over the Derby, if you watched the Derby over the weekend. A different Kentucky Derby than ever. But you keep that trumpet sounding, because it's also a call to the post for the election coming up. Now, of course, reference the Derby in case you missed it, or you put your money down, you don't know if you won or not. Authentic ended up winning. Stunning, Tis the Law. I had my money on Tis the Law. Okay. But I'm putting my money on the right race and the right candidates as we go to November. We are getting ready to have an extremely fast and furious race. Dr. Gerard Lomero will be joining us later this hour, giving us his latest impact on what he expects to see happen. And which topics will be playing the highest. I think still violence in our streets is going to be very, very big. I want to give you some basis of issues here that this is absolutely, it's not just stunning, it's depressing. I've got here in front of me a Washington Post article written by Tim Craig, and he's citing a report from the nonprofit Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. Get a load of that name. Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. Called ACLED. It monitors war zones and political upheaval all around the world. And along with Princeton University, they launched a U.S. crisis monitor report. Because of all of our protests, they've documented 7,750 protests from May 26th through August 22nd, linked to the Black Lives Matter movement. protesters taking place in 2,400 locations across all 50 states and the D.C. 220 locations identified where protesters became violent. And in those cases, quote, largely confined to specific blocks rather than throughout the entire city. We knew all of that stuff. But what gets me, the way they spin this, if you want to believe the U.S. is in a crisis, the spin is about 93% of the racial justice protests over the summer were peaceful, non-destructive. I'm not going to quibble over the figures. But do you see what they're doing? Do you see that's equatable to a tornado hitting a Texas town, killing dozens? But 99.9% of the nation is okay because they didn't see tornado, not even one piece of bad weather. So it's just there. Just there. And unless you know someone or have property there or we're going to go visit there or once grew up there or you just didn't, you think you passed through it one time. It doesn't affect you one way or the other, does it? But these protests, if they want to spin it and say 93% of the racial justice protests remain peaceful and non-destructive, okay. But it's a 7% that is now driving the push for more law and order, while we have the leftists again calling out for defunding the police, absolutely abolishing police. They have made it clear. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about the billions taken, the $15 billion taken from the New York City Police Department budget says, no. When we talk about defunding, we mean defund, take all of it and reappropriate it to social justice programs and hire monitors to go out and deal with traffic accidents and murders and suicides, things of that nature. But we don't need police on anything like that. Again, back to the correlation. And they expect you to buy this. They expect you to buy this. If they want to make a big deal out of 93% were nonviolent, so it's not a big deal. You didn't like my Texas tornado town image? All right, consider this one. 9/11, which the anniversary is this Friday. The 9/11 attacks. You take all the casualties of the Twin Towers, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where that plane went down, in a farm field. The Pentagon. Not really a big deal for the rest of the nation. I mean, no other cities were hit, no other towns, no other buildings blew up. I mean, what did we have, 3,000? Let's say 3,000. Let's say 4,000 total dead from 9/11, including those who died since because of health-related illnesses as they were trying to retrieve bodies. 4,000. Put that 4,000 number up against the lowest estimate of our U.S. population, which would be 320 million. That's just a barely blip on our screen. It's just not that big of a deal. The hell it's not, and you know it. So if they want to sell this story that because only 7% involved violence, looting, arson, that everything's okay, let them keep that attitude. I guess in Portland, they truly believe it is. They had another night of violence over this weekend, another section of violence in Portland. Today, the Portland City Council might discuss it. They didn't discuss it last week. In fact, they didn't discuss it the week before that. Why? It's right there in their city. The Portland City Council has not met in 2 weeks. The Oregonian newspaper wrote, with violent protests raging, the Portland City Council, quote, hung out its gone fishing sign. In other words, just walked away from their responsibility. These protests in Portland against police violence, national news stories for weeks. No end in sight, 100 plus days now. Saturday, police again had to deploy tear gas to defend themselves. 60 arrested in ages from 15 to 50. Molotov cocktails thrown into the street during a march, sparking a large fire. Police had to declare a riot. And in one case, a protester throwing it had it splashed back on him. He's on fire, running around and trying to drop and roll, and others trying to help him, and he's on fire, and he was one of the ones involved in the riot. So the Portland City Council doesn't bother meeting for 2 weeks. Apparently don't see a big deal. Victor Davis Hanson, a member of the Hoover Institution, senior fellow actually, was appearing on the Ingram angle over the weekend and talking about how Biden has been dealing with this violence. Remember how he was just basically ignoring it, kind of accepting it? The words of Victor Davis Hanson.
For about 90 days, he really was a virtual candidate, and he had a steady lead in the polls because he looked at that violence in the street where Portland, Seattle is useful. The anarchy and chaos supposedly reflected badly on the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, it did. It did reflect badly on the commander-in-chief, so they said, just let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. I mean, the U.S. is in crisis. No, not really. Not really. 90-plus percent of the protests were peaceful. That's not the issue. The peaceful protests are not the issue. I don't care if you agree or disagree with the protest, be it BLM or Back the Blue. They also took place, and they were also peaceful. But what Victor Davis Hanson pointed out is that for that period of time, Biden just kind of liked it because they thought it was bad for the commander-in-chief. That would be Donald Trump, of course. And also keep in mind, when they started looking at this violence coming out and a study on where the rioters were coming from, a piece I read to you published off of September 2nd, looking at a collection of various police records of those arrested in various cities such as D.C., Minneapolis, Kenosha, Portland, West Hollywood, Seattle, mostly showed a lot of out-of-staters converging on cities. And Attorney General Barr addressed that issue.
We have evidence that Antifa and other similar extremist groups, as well as actors of a variety of different political persuasions, have been involved in instigating and participating in the violent activity. And we are also seeing foreign actors playing all sides to exacerbate the violence.
That is exactly true. And in the next hour, I want you to hear the words of Herschel Walker, former NFL pro player. Yes, he's a Republican. He's a black man. He's a Republican. He's got his own view as to what should be done to these people from out of state, out of city, that have nothing to do with it, but they travel there to engage in combat against police and law enforcement. He's got an idea what should be done with them and how they should be treated. You'll hear from Herschel Walker in the next hour. But back to Victor Davis Hanson pointing out that Biden has just kind of gone along with all this. And yet what happened the other day was, as we've aired it repeatedly, and I'm not going to bother repeating it again, but remind you that Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN and NN made it clear Biden has a blind spot regarding this violence to the streets. He's got to speak out on it. He's got to say something. And why? Why, because he doesn't like it? No, he has to do it because the poll numbers are showing that it could hurt Joe Biden. And then suddenly Joe Biden gets very concerned about it. Again, the words of Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Institution.
And then suddenly it was, this: we can't have this devil's bargain anymore with the hard left. We've got to come out and sort of say something that they shouldn't do this, where they were perfectly happy to see a precinct burned down or 700 not happy, but they were willing to tolerate that. And now they're not so useful. And yet they can't really come out and attack BLM and the tactics of Antifa because they've embraced, they being the Harris and Biden team, the socialist agenda. He's in a paradox, and every time he contextualizes and backs off on that agenda, his base is going to say, wait a minute. We were going to use you to carry this agenda through. Good old Joel from Scranton. You can't renege on this deal. He's a prisoner.
He's a prisoner. Victor Davis Hanson said Biden is a prisoner in a policy paradox that could enrage the left-wing base if he starts flailing out at all these anarchists, the rioting in the streets. He did as little as he could. He went to Kenosha a couple of days after Trump and then said, well, what I saw was anything at all like what Trump was saying. I'll read you again the tweet that surfaced over the weekend. This was... based on this, it is directly from his account, and if he wrote it, he had plenty of time to look at it, study it, and pull some words back, or whoever did it. It starts off positive. When I was in Kenosha, there wasn't half the damage Donald Trump made it out to be. He's always gaslighting problems that are in Democrat-run cities. And then comes this statement from Joe Biden in print on his tweet account. What I observed in Kenosha was fewer black people than in major cities, which means less looting. You heard me right. And Biden said it. And we also have NPR suddenly having to backtrack because they were basically agreeing that looting's okay.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So last week I pointed out to you how NPR allowed an interview to go on and on and on and not be challenged at all by an author known as Vicki Osterweil. Or Osterweil. I don't care. Vicki Mudd, as far as I'm concerned. The book titled In Defense of Looting. And NPR made a big deal of this. This is an important book. And then the backlash started. Because in the book, this woman's claiming looting is insured. I mean, it's okay because the folks that have these businesses, they're insured. They're going to get it back. And they target businesses that aren't rooted in the local community. That's not true. You know that. And said the civil rights movement only adopted nonviolence to appeal to white northerners. That's also not right. And then NPR said, our bad, we should have been more precise in checking and double-checking the facts because this woman basically was saying looting's okay, it's deserved, it's people getting what they deserve. NPR gets a lot of federal tax dollars. Now maybe they're realizing, we really should have been more careful about that. You think? Labor Day weekend in Chicago. 44 shot, 6 killed. This includes an 8-year-old girl in a vehicle. Someone opened fire on the car, injured others, but killed the 8-year-old girl. And Chicago police put out this statement. Murders fell 40% during August. Murders are down 40% during August. That's very much akin to what we were reading earlier, as this study group decided that most of the nation has not had any rioting and looting. So it's nothing to be worried about. Unless it's your family, your business, right? This is where they're trying to play the game on you. It's a shell game, folks. Three-card money, whatever you want to call it. That's exactly what it is. I know you've seen it. We get three walnut shells. We put a little P under one. This hand goes that way. That's the other. Which one? Where's it now? Was it number one, two, or three? Our three-card Monty, the way it's originally, you got three playing cards. One's an ace, the other two are jacks, or whatever you want. And they show you where the ace is, and they give you a couple times to check it, and they let you win a couple of times. In fact, they will have a shill come in from the crowd and pick it out several times and walk away at $200 on a bet. Oh, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it. And the shill was already working for the group. The Hill published an article, by the way, when we're talking about law enforcement. You should pay attention to this. The title is Ohio Sheriff Issues Warning. You shoot at police, expect us to shoot back. That's the sheriff in Ohio, Butler County. Warned any protesters taking action against police officers, you're going to be met with force. Talked about already, they've been hitting us with rocks and water, spitting on us and so forth, and if they shoot, we will shoot back. Our boots on the ground reporter in Chicago said, this is the kind of headline and story you think this has to be told? You have to be told this? And, of course, the problem is a lot of police are going to be a little hesitant because, well, of course, it's got to be a justified shooting. And in the midst of rioting people in your face, could you have done something else? Could you have shot them in the leg? Or could you have just dropped to your knees and say, will you just pray with me right now? I believe in prayer, but that's not the time. We'll take a break and we come back. Dr. Gerard Lamero going to bring us up to speed on what he thinks is going to happen over the next few days, weeks, as we rush to the November election. It will be fast and furious.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We welcome back once again Dr. Gerard Lamero, author, political analyst, expert on forecast models. I have told you previously what he's done in numerous times. Back in early 2019, he predicted socialism was going to be the number one political issue this year, and sure enough it is. In fact, he has out a book titled Real World Socialism that discusses correctly many of the issues we're seeing right now in our streets as well. And, of course, now we're rushing to that November election date. Dr. Lamero, welcome back on board, sir.
It's great to be with you. You have a wonderful show. And, by the way, this is the 120th time I've been interviewed on your program.
I am so glad you're keeping track of that. I'm sure at some point I'm going to have an accounting. I'm going to get some bill for me. I'll keep moving. I have not looked at calendar. What are we, 55, 56 days out from the election? Do you know off the top of your head? I just know it's coming, but I don't know exact number of days.
I'm not sure it's going to be over November 3rd.
Well, that's a good point.
Which day do you want me to count?
I agree. Yeah. In fact, I want to discuss it because, folks, he has out in one of his latest pieces he put out various presidential election scenarios. All right, let's run through some of them. What's one of the number ones? Go ahead.
Oh, gosh. All sorts of possibilities. Well, of course, number one, which I think is going to happen, is we're going to have a Trump landslide, at least 348 to 190 on electoral votes. But there are people who are hypothesizing and thinking that Biden will not concede. In fact, Hillary Clinton has come out and said, don't concede under any circumstances. Hold it out. Hold out. And what he's holding out for is last-minute ballots. And, of course, some people say that's the way to stuff the ballot box with fake ballots at the end. Well, that's to be seen. But at any rate, it could be that there will not be a concession, even if it looks like Trump has won, and instead they will hold it open.
I want to get in that in more detail, but before we leave the ballot issue, I'm seeing a story that came out. The American Postal Workers Union says our members weren't involved, but piles of mail were dumped last week in two separate locations in Glendale, California. Mail just dropped and dumped. In other words, nobody bothered to see exactly what it was. But I also have a report coming out that shows Democrats are dominating mail-in ballot requests in the key swing states. A surge of requests for absentee ballots by Democrats, North Carolina, Florida, Pennsylvania. How do you think that's playing?
Well, there are some possibilities. One is that certain people are deciding to be their own vote harvesters, and they're getting names of people who don't plan to vote or who don't care if they vote or who votes for them, and they're going to bring them in at the end. And as Donald Trump has tweeted out, 80 million votes coming in at the last minute are going to be awfully hard to count. Suppose you have that. Those are ballots that are going to have to be counted by hand, not by their usual processing.
So we could end up seeing litigation continue, going right up to Inauguration Day and past.
Yes, and of course there's some significant dates in between. December 14th, by law, is when the Electoral College meets this year. It meets on the first Monday after the second Wednesday. Now, where they came up with that, I'm not exactly sure. But this year, that will be December 14th. And let me tell you, if electors have not been certified by their respective state by that day, they cannot vote in the Electoral College. So let's say we have New York, Pennsylvania, maybe New Jersey, a few other states that are not certified by that date, guess what? They will sit it out. They will not get to vote in the Electoral College. But that also runs the risk that the Electoral College will not award 270 votes to any one person. So you may have a situation where no one gets 270 electoral votes. And that's one problem. But there are a bunch of other problems.
Well, let's go from that point. Let's say if, and in fact, that neither gets... neither gets the 270 electoral votes. You point out in your piece that it could be 269 to 269. But bottom line,
that would be a similar situation.
Right.
Yes.
But at that point, and this is something I was telling somebody over the weekend, I said the House will end up picking a vice president to serve as a president. Explain how that would work.
Well, it's very interesting. It's a one vote, one state in the House gets a vote. So in other words, the 53 representatives, congressional representatives in the House that represent California get one vote. They get to caucus together and decide who they want to vote for. And of course, we would guess,
right,
since it's a Democrat state, they'll vote for Biden. Wyoming, which only has one congressional person on their delegation, they'd caucus with themselves and probably vote for Trump because they're Republican. But each state gets one vote, and so you have the situation with how many states are actually Republican and how many states are actually Democrat? Well, right now, it's 26 Republican delegations in the House. Even though they're mostly Democrats, it's because of states like California, where so many are Democrats, that, you know, Nancy has the job of Speaker of the House. Otherwise, Kevin McCarthy would be the Speaker. But 26 delegations are Republican now, 23 are Democrat, and one state is tied. A tied delegation gets no vote in voting for president because they don't vote either way.
So now we move to the next scenario. The House cannot decide 25 states versus 25 states, and now the Senate is brought into the equation.
Right. The Senate is, by constitutional and by law, picks a vice president from among those who received electoral votes. So it could pick either one, because it does not do one state, one vote. It does it by total number of votes, and it's a simple majority. So Kamala Harris or Mike Pence might become president, because the acting president, when they're picked by the Senate and the House has not picked a president, they automatically become president.
And then
how's
then the next part that goes with that, that Nancy Pelosi, if she, and the other thing is, we've got the House will be installed, the new members, I'm sorry, I'm not doing a very good job.
Yeah, the new House.
The new House, if it has, if it's held
January
by the
3rd.
Democrats, yeah, if it's held by Democrats, and they're still going through this, and we still don't have the president decided, that's why these congressional and Senate races are also so critical.
Of course, yeah. So the new House, who would actually be the ones to vote for president, not the current House, 26-23-1, but the new House, January 3rd, would get to vote, and we don't know what the constitution of that House is going to be yet because the election hasn't taken place, and everyone hasn't been seated. And it could matter about even, it could come down to one vote in one state in the new House. It's amazing. And by the way, there's some other fun scenarios, too.
Believe me, already I think we're on a roller coaster ride. I'm getting queasy, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's go back a little time to November, and let's say that Biden and Trump are arguing over the delegates who would be coming from Florida. Let's say they go to the state court. Let's say the state court says one thing. Then they go to the state Supreme Court in Florida. It says something else. Then one of the two, Trump or Biden, sues them in the federal system. Then it moves to the federal court system. It goes up to the Supreme Court, and you could have four liberals and four conservatives on the Supreme Court, and it's all going to come down to who gets the state of Florida and maybe who gets the election to Chief Justice Roberts.
Mm.
So his one vote would probably be the tiebreaker in the Supreme Court, because we know four always vote liberal, and we know the other four are pretty darn conservative. So it'd be 4-4, and he'd be the tiebreaker. Although lately he's been going with liberals, but if he picked Biden, there are going to be a lot of unhappy Republicans.
Yeah, and these scenarios, I mean, they're real. We haven't seen them actually executed in the history up to this level. We saw it, of course, the hanging Chad thing down in Florida between Gore and Bush, but we've never seen anything go quite this deep, have we?
No, and given you have statements like Hillary Clinton's, and I have that written down here. Let me just read it right out. This is exactly what NBC News quoted Hillary Clinton as saying. Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give up an inch, and if we are focused and relentless as the other side is.
Yep, and I've read that.
By the way,
I've read that same quote to the audience repeatedly. Go ahead, sir.
By the way, Joe Biden, his campaign has already hired 600 lawyers to litigate the election.
So that gives you an idea of where they're going. Also, there's an analysis from the National Partnership for New Americans that finds in swing states such as Florida, Michigan, New Hampshire, and so forth, the number of new foreign-born voters naturalized since 2014 exceeds the 2016 margins of victory in a number of those states.
Yeah, there are a lot of things going on.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to obviously have to reschedule you for still another time. So we're not going to get it all covered here today. And again, just to make sure the public understands in the last 20 seconds exactly what you really do expect to happen, however.
Right now, it looks to me like Donald Trump will win the election rather easily. But I can't say if voter fraud is much beyond what I would expect. I do forecast voter fraud. But if it's way beyond anything that I know of and that I have control, I don't have any control over it whatsoever, that could affect my results.
All right.
And if I get new information that leads me to think the numbers are going to be different, there's going to be a new forecast, that's for sure.
All right.
The numbers drive the forecast.
We'll look forward to it. Dr. Gerard Lomero, as always, we'll book you for a future date. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Have a great day.
You bet. Coming up, some of the latest on COVID and what is happening in New York City. This is shocking, and it's absolutely depressing. And you don't even have to live there to understand this story. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
On a cloudy day, about the mail. I guess you said, what can make me feel this way, Maggie, Maggie.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is a new study out. It's labeled as a controversial study, but I'll let you make your own decision. That's the way it's titled by the Daily Mail publication. And it says that controversial California study claims Americans are overestimating their risk of getting coronavirus, and that the odds of infection are around 1 in 4,000. And for Americans between ages 50 to 64, the risk of being hospitalized is 1 in 852,000. The risk of dying in the ages of 50 to 64, 1 in 19 million. Now, I know those numbers are hard to follow as I give them out like this. You'd much rather see them. Well, this article appears in the Daily Mail, California study stating Americans are overestimating their risk of getting coronavirus. And yet we still have a lot of lockdown things. We do have some football games that are going to be played at the college level to begin with, but not all leagues. Some of the conferences say no. And some of those conferences are saying, well, why are we playing if they're playing? And then also among that, we can't send the kids to school and hold classes on campus, but they can do that on the field. They can come in close contact on the field, which they better be if they're going to be a good player, and not only at college level, but high school. And, of course, we have the pros getting ready to start. No audiences, supposedly. Although there were audiences watching some event the other day, and Nancy Pelosi went ballistic. I take it back. I don't remember if it's Nancy or Hillary. I could care less, really, but they just thought, oh, I know who it was. It's Joy Reid of MSNBC saying, people, we still have a pandemic to deal with. Well, she's right in tune with the New York City mayor, Bill de Blasio. I told you previously some of the stats coming out 4-plus months ago were estimating that maybe 30% of the New York City restaurants that have been closed through this time will not reopen ever. At least not by the same owners as they are now. Someone else may come along, get the property cheaply, and try to take it over, but 30% of them might not open at all because they still are not allowed to serve inside the restaurants. In New York City, if you're going to go to a restaurant, you have to be able to eat outside or get it to go. And the city has kept the COVID-19 infection rate below 1% for 3 straight weeks. And you know what the mayor, New York mayor, is saying now? The New York mayor is declaring restaurants will not be allowed to open for inside dining until next June. Oh, no, Larry, you must have misread that. No, I'm not. Not until next June. Oh, you mean by December? No, June. You mean by March even? No, June. De Blasio saying no indoor dining until next June. And now these concerns about these restaurants is getting even bigger. Now, 63% of the restaurants could close because of all of this and never reopen. Obviously, somebody's going to come along, try to open up and do business once they get them reopened, getting the place for a song, buying out a lease. Who knows what's going to happen? But if the intent of the New York City mayor is to ban indoor dining in New York City until June, I also wonder if he's going into some of these restaurants and getting a nice meal and wine from time to time, like Nancy went and got her hair done in the salons that are still ordered closed in California for indoor customers. He hasn't been caught at it yet. Now, last month, the Restaurant Association believed about 90% of the state's restaurant owners thought it was very or somewhat likely their restaurants would be profitable in the next 6 months. That's across the state, though, across the state. But when you get into New York City, the numbers are frightening and scary, and they are not good. If you are looking for some good numbers in all of this regarding the election, Rasmussen issued a new survey rating, and Trump's approval rating is back up to its pre-pandemic high of 52%. 52%. The last time he had that was late Feb, weeks before the coronavirus lockdowns kicked in. Coming up the next hour, Al Sharpton saying, we don't need latte liberals coming in and telling us how to live in our communities. We don't need new slave masters in the inner city. That's what he's accusing the leftists of pushing on them, the progressives. I thought Sharpton was all part of that group. Well, he's making some distance between himself and them now. You don't want to miss that story. Still to come, next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.